This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Nick Whalen, rejoined by Jeff Erickson. I had our friend Brandon Kravitz subbing in on the Monday edition, but Jeff, glad to have you back. Fun show, as always, coming your way over the next hour. We got some NFL training camp news. George Pickens set to report to minicamp for the Dallas Cowboys. We got some news out of Kansas City as well. We'll, of course, talk some World Cup, a draw-filled Monday in World Cup action. Three games coming our way in the World Cup on Tuesday. We'll play some play it or pass it, looking at some props for those games. We'll take a look at plenty of baseball plays for tonight as well, including all of Jeff Erickson's best bets to round out the show. Our long-lost friend, Len Hochberg, back on Prop Points. We have the U.S. Open, of course, coming our way this weekend. We'll get all of his plays, all of his DFS picks. So, again, a lot coming your way over the next 60 minutes here on VSiN. Before we dive in on some of that news, just a reminder, if you miss any of our shows, if you want to listen to us in audio form, if you don't want to see our faces, you can download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. And, of course, you can find full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app. Jeff, let's start with the World Cup. We had, I guess a stunning result, is as stunning as a draw can be. Cape Verde going up against Spain. That one ended in a draw, 0-0 yesterday. Spain was minus 1,500 on the money line to win that game. A draw was 13-1 heading in. It didn't see major movements. You know, this was a disappointing showing, of course, for Spain to begin the World Cup, but haven't seen a ton of movement in the futures market. They're still hanging around that 5-1 range to win the tournament. How much stock do you put into something like this when we're still so early in group play?
Last World Cup, Argentina lost their very first game to Saudi Arabia, and we were like, is Argentina in trouble? Will they get out of the group? They won the World Cup. So I'm not super concerned about Spain. A lot of times you get off to these kind of shaky performances. It's frustrating if you back Spain in pools, or if you had them obviously yesterday there when you see Germany, going off and scoring seven goals. You can see that can be done, or Sweden against Tunisia and what they did in that game. The shots were there. They hit a crossbar a couple of times. The keeper was playing out of his mind. 40-year-old guy is looking like he was 25. But you see goalkeepers at the time could play later in their careers. Tim Howard had a really lengthy career. You saw like some other of the elite goalkeepers play pretty deep into their career. And that seemed like that was happening there. The shot differential was out of this world. This wasn't like two World Cups ago in Russia where Spain would hold all sorts of possession but not get off shots. They got off shots yesterday. They just didn't connect. I'm not super concerned if I'm backing Spain. I think better times are still ahead, but we'll see. We got France playing today. We still haven't seen Portugal. We still haven't seen England play. Some of the other top teams still haven't been rolled out there yet. So we'll see some of that. Norway plays today. So should be some other high scoring teams getting their first turn in the ringer as well. I'm not major concerned about Spain at least.
So we actually went 4-for-4 on draws yesterday, Jeff. Only Spain and Cape Verde, but Belgium, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Uruguay, and Iran, New Zealand, all ending in draws. You know, kind of an anomaly, of course, to have all four of those in the same day. But you kind of alluded to it, and I know our friend Adam Zdrojek mentioned it on the show yesterday as well, that you do, especially early in group play, you do see a more defensive style. You have these underdogs kind of trying to play keep away. Is this something we need to think more about when we're betting these group play games?
I think so a little bit there. I think you look at the type of teams that they are as well. Like, are they going to play a defensive posture? Are they willing to go all out? And we saw in a couple of cases there that the teams that were willing to do that a little more, Qatar is one that comes to mind in that game against Switzerland, wait for that one chance, connect on that one chance, seal the point. And Switzerland was content to try to win a 1-0 game. I thought they put it in park way too soon in that game, and they paid the price on that one there. And they're going to have a more sense of urgency for their next two games there that they try to get through. The fact that we have 48 teams, we have 8 third place teams making it to the elimination rounds, that will make it a little bit better. But hey, there's an urgency now for some of these teams that had sneaky draws to try to avoid fourth place for that matter. So I think that's interesting. But yeah, We saw the draw four card being played by FIFA yesterday there, for those who are Uno players, if they remember back in the day. But I thought the late game last night was a lot of fun. I thought that wasn't a defensive game at all. The Iran game against New Zealand, there was a lot of good back and forth in that one. I thought Iran should have was the better side late in that game. They just couldn't get the go-ahead goal late.
So three games on the World Cup slate today. France-Senegal gets us started at 3 p.m. Eastern. We get Iraq and Norway at 6 p.m. Eastern, and then Argentina-Algeria, the nightcap, starting up at 9. So we'll get you some plays for each of those games a little bit later in the show. Folks, do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. You can head to rotowire.com right now. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Throw that in at checkout. It'll get you 15% off anything we offer at RotoWire. Again, check it out at rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Now's the time to get in on RotoWire, Jeff. We are launching all of our NFL products over the next few weeks, complete redesign, coming to the site, coming to the app. So highly, highly encourage you to check that out and use that code VSIN. Couple NFL notes to get to, Jeff, both in the realm of wide receivers. George Pickens reporting to mandatory minicamp. He will, at least we should say, after not attending OTAs. Yeah, we get one or two of these situations every offseason, right? And I think because it's George Pickens, a guy who has a little bit of a history of being difficult to deal with, you know, maybe it feels a little bit amplified. But essentially the news item here is if George Pickens was going to miss any more time, it was going to start costing him money against that contract. So I still think the two sides are at odds. I still think it could be a little bit uncomfortable, but we were never going to see George Pickens start racking up fines.
No, I didn't think so, especially because he's looking to get that long-term deal still. But even though they've outright said that they're not going to negotiate that this year, I was surprised that Pickens signed the franchise tender so quickly. You know, there was a lot of speculation that, hey, you know, he's going to be upset about this. This is going to be a real problem. I didn't mind him skipping OTAs. I didn't think that was a big deal. The offense is essentially the same this year for the Cowboys. There's not much of an install to do. The personnel really hasn't changed that much. So there's not much to miss. So mini camp, it's listed as mandatory, you know, that it's not voluntary. So he shows up for that. He shows up for training camp. We'll see if there's any sort of like, you know, in like, you know, kind of like we saw with like Micah Parsons or some of the other, like a couple of years ago, we saw this a couple of times with some players where they were attending training camp, but not participating, you know, things of that nature there. Jamar Chase was the notable one that I can think of a couple of years ago. I don't think we'll see that out of Pickens, but you never know. It could be volatile still. It's wide receiver 8 right now at the NFFC. You know, he's right there with Nico Collins and Price, a little bit ahead of a couple other receivers. And in the case of like Malik Nabers, Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, A.J. Brown, I think A.J. Brown's price is going to go up. I think he'll ultimately be in that same range. Are you willing to take Pickens at that price? End of the second, beginning of the third round.
Well, first of all, on A.J. Brown, I know in best ball, he's up to pick 18 on average over the last few days. So we saw that initial bump after the trade. He continues to rise, especially in underdog drafts. Look, as far as Pickens goes, I think last year was close to the best case scenario, right? It was somewhat of a prove it year. He's in a better situation. He's with a better quarterback in Dak Prescott. The contract thing hanging over this, I don't love. You know, the idea too of, okay, can CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens both be top 8, top 9 fantasy receivers? There are a very select few pairings around the NFL that I think could do it. I think Chase and Higgins are probably the shining example. If both of those guys actually stay healthy for a full year, I think we could see it in Dallas. And, you know, something I have been thinking about, if you take CeeDee Lamb, if you take George Pickens early in a draft, I think you want to grab Ryan Flournoy later on. Like, he's somebody who's starting to rise up draft boards, getting a ton of rave reviews. He's seen a lot more action during minicamp without George Pickens. They're using him on the inside. They're using him on the outside. I think it's a really good way to hedge CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens if something happens health-wise with either of those guys. But to give you a firm answer, Jeff, on your original question, I would rather lean on the for sure number one option in what might be a slightly worse offense in someone like Nico Collins, someone like Drake London, someone like A.J. Brown over George Pickens. Let's talk a little Rashee Rice. He is officially out of jail. Jeff, we're moving in the right direction. He served his 30-day sentence. He was rehabbing the knee while in jail. Andy Reid said, yeah, I haven't really talked to him all that much. Our trainers have been in touch with him. It's one of those news items because it's a big name. It doesn't really impact anything. You know, for me, I've said it on this show. I'm just more concerned about what's going to be the next legal issue. What's going to be the next off the field thing with Rashee Rice? You know, this is certainly a black mark on the offseason. It's a black mark on his reputation, which continues to plummet right now. But it doesn't look like it's going to impact his availability for the start of the season. I don't like the overall trend over these last couple of years for Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I agree. And I did get him in an early draft where I got him in the middle of the third round. It was kind of considered a little bit of a value pick. If I were redoing that today, I think I'd push Chris Olave ahead of him. I'd push Tet McMillan ahead of him as well. I think that's where I draw the line. I still think I take Rashee Rice ahead of T. Higgins, however. I take that back. I don't think I do. I think I take T. Higgins and Garrett Wilson ahead of Rashee Rice as well. I just worry about that next shoe to drop. I worry about the health for that matter, too. You know, it's not like he's had this clean bill of health every single season. And I'm not even worried about him rehabbing while in jail or whatever that was. But just the fact that it's been another thing, and that profile does concern me. I think for me, my line with Rashee Rice is Zay Flowers. If you're looking Zay Flowers, Ladd McConkey range, I put Devontae Smith over Rashee Rice at this point too. So I'm not the low man on the totem pole. I know our friend Scott Pianowski did a survey of the industry, but I'm definitely probably not going to get him at his current price.
We're going to play a game, play it or pass it, when we come back. Some baseball props, some World Cup plays. That's coming up next. You're watching Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We are, of course, with rotowire.com. We welcome in those listening along on Sirius XM channel 158 and to those streaming with us on YouTube TV. It's time once again for one of our favorite segments we do on this show. It's called Play It or Pass It.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
Here we go. Play It or Pass It on a Tuesday on Prop Points. We're going to do a little mixing and matching, Jeff. We're going to throw some baseball plays your way. We're going to take a look at some World Cup plays as well. We'll start in Major League Baseball. Logan Gilbert, over 4.5 hits allowed tonight. This is minus 105. Play it or pass it.
So this is an interesting one because we don't really play the hits allowed props all that often here on this show. Others have found some value in that there, so it's worth kind of digging into. Ironically, Logan Gilbert, one of our fantasy studs, one of the starting pitchers that usually is among the top 10 starting pitchers drafted going into this year, has not been that. And he has reverse splits this year. Usually you look at Mariners pitchers pitching in T-Mobile, you're like, oh yeah, I'm in, definitely. The case of Logan Gilbert this year, 560 ERA, 124 whip at home, 12 of his 13 homers allowed have been at home. Complete opposite of his career, complete opposite of what you think about Mariners pitchers. The rest of that staff is the other way around. However, most of the damage did happen early. His hit log in his last six starts, 3-4-5-2-5-1, most being three hits allowed against the O's in Camden. I think it's a very interesting line. I'm going to pass it, and part of that is because it's minus 105. I'm not getting any sort of like bargain price, and because it's right on the line for me, I think I'll just move on to find another one there. But it's a fair price. I'm just going to pass it.
Okay, you are under no obligation to play any of these, Jeff. So we will pass on Logan Gilbert, right, over 4.5 hits allowed to start. Play it or pass it. Michael Busch going up against the Rockies. Ryan Feltner on the hill tonight for Colorado. Michael Busch over 0.5 RBI. So just to get an RBI on the board, plus 156, play it or pass it.
So I'm this one's interesting because he's going up against Ryan Feltner, who pitched against the Cubs last week in a series in Coors Field. Six runs on four hits over four and a third innings. Obviously, it's Coors Field. So the other thing we want to do, and anytime we're looking at a Cubs game, we look at the total. We look at the weather conditions there because that always dictates in Wrigley Field. So looking at this one here, the total is 9.5 in this one there. 17-mile-an-hour wind. It's 68 degrees, so it's not going to be super warm. It's a left or right wind. It's not straight blowing out, but still pretty favorable weather conditions here. I think I'd like to be a little bit 10 degrees warmer. Michael Busch was 2-for-4 with an RBI in that game against Feltner, has six RBIs over the last 7 days. I'm going to play it. If we were doing rate that prop, I'd probably make it a four.
We move on to the number one hitter, Jeff, in fantasy baseball so far this season, James Wood, to record a home run tonight. Plus 311 is our number at DraftKings going up against the Royals and Michael Wacha. James Wood, homer, play it or pass it.
Yeah, this is right on the line again here. These are good prices. And that's the thing. The prices have firmed up quite a bit in a lot of these places. Total in this game is 8.5. The wind is modest. The temperature's going to be 78 degrees. Waka's allowed 10 homers, three in his last four games. Six of his 10 homers allowed have been on the road. Wood is at 12 of his 20 homers at home. It's the conditions are pretty favorable. But we know with home run props, we like to get them up over 400. It's 311 is fair price, not a great price. You can find it plus 340 at MGM. At least I did before the start of the show. I'm going to pass it, but with reservations. This is like right on the line.
We'll have some World Cup plays for you in just a moment. But folks, every week we sit here, we break down the players, we call the shots, we tell you out this summer. And every week, a bunch of you are in the replies, convinced you could do better. Fair enough, but here's your chance to prove it. Today's episode is brought to you by Sport.Fun, a free-to-play fantasy game built around the summer tournament. Pick the players you think are going to deliver, draft your squad, join leagues, and compete for a share of over $30,000 in prizes. $30,000, free-to-play, no catch. And if you really want to back yourself, there's a pro version where you can play with real cash. Same game, just higher stakes. We've set up an official RotoWire league on the free side, so you could go head-to-head with us, the rest of the listeners, and settle this once and for all. Sign up right now at football.fun, join that RotoWire league, and back yourself. Think you could call it better than us? Prove it. Terms and conditions apply. We move on to the World Cup as we play it or pass it here on Prop Points. France-Senegal, first game of the day, Jeff. We are looking at both teams to score in this match, minus 110 at DraftKings. Will you play it or will you pass it?
Good question. Minus 110. It's not exactly a fruitful bet there. If you're trying to parlay, like their goal totals, they're trying to do it that way. You're probably not going to get a better price that way either, but I'm pretty confident France is going to score. I mean, you can run into a hot goalie. We know this happens sometimes. Sometimes you can just miss the mark like Spain did yesterday, but France is a potent, potent team. They've scored two or more goals in all of their qualifying games. In recent friendlies, they both scored and conceded. In qualifiers, they did have clean sheets in three out of six games. So I think the question is whether France allows a goal to Senegal. Senegal, meanwhile, they rolled through cup qualifying. 14-2 goal differential there in their four wins. Three of those were shutouts. They made it to the finals of the Africa Cup of Nations. I don't know if you read anything about this game or saw anything about this game. This was a bonkers game. It was Morocco was the host country in this one. Morocco, a very good team. There were multiple protests. Senegal pulled their team off the field for a brief moment, came back. Eventually, they won the game, but they were ruled to have forfeited. Just a very good team. Just a volatile result here. I think can Senegal score is the question there. They did recently lose a friendly to Team USA 3-2. I think they're going to be open enough here to score. So I'm going to play it. But the question is, can they score against France?
That is the question, because France to score in this game is minus 1220. Senegal to score minus 156. So I think that is what it will come down to. Let's go to our next game, Jeff. Rivalry renewed. No love lost when these teams get together. Iraq versus Norway. We're looking at the total. Over 3.5 goals, plus 155, play it or pass it.
So we talked a little bit about Norway in the preview last week. I believe it was Adam Crooks that was joined us there. Norway was the it team in qualifying. They rolled through qualifying, crushed Italy twice, combined 7-1 goal differential in that one there. Iraq was the last team to get into the tournament. They beat Bolivia 2-1 in a late game in the qualifying tournament. Basically, they had to get into the play in there, won 3-2 in aggregate. They just lost a 2-0 in a friendly against Venezuela. I think Iraq is going to be a team that plays it close to the vest. They're going to try to slow this game, drag it down into the muck. Can we get one goal from Iraq? Can we get at least two from Norway? I think so. Can we get three? I'm not sure. We've seen some of these European teams face, you know, African teams, Middle Eastern teams, and kind of slow down a little bit there. I'm going to pass it on this one there. I hope I'm wrong because, I mean, Norway is such an entertaining team. So many good scoring weapons. We all want to see Erling Haaland go off, but we'll see about this one there. 3.5 is a pretty high total. I'm going to pass it.
Final game of the night in the World Cup is Argentina-Algeria. We are once again looking at the total, Jeff. So I'm going to give you the under 2.5 goals. This is -115 at DraftKings. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, Adam Zadroit gave this one out yesterday here as the under 2.5 there. Algeria has had four clean sheets in a row, all in friendlies. I try to put more emphasis on cup qualifying than friendlies, but sometimes that's all you have. The defense was solid in the Africa Cup of Nations, and they were another good team that did well in that tournament. Meanwhile, Argentina hasn't played a meaningful game since September 2025, all friendlies since then. They finished their cup qualifying a long time ago, but they played seven friendlies. They've had clean sheets in seven of those games. So, you know the defense is solid. So, they're one of the favorites coming into the tournament. They may not be firing on all cylinders offensively. So I like this bet. I'm with Adam on this one here as well. Quick programming note. There is a late game that technically depends on what time zone you're in. Today's late. Austria, Jordan's at midnight Eastern time, 9 p.m. my time out in California, out in Santa Clara. That is your actual fourth game on the slate today. I know we always program to live in the Eastern time zone, so sometimes it doesn't get listed as far as those teams. Are you watching a bunch of World Cup yet, Nick?
I found myself dabbling a little bit. I mean, NBA is over now, right? We didn't get a game six or a game seven. I got to watch something. We didn't have any Brewers last night. So yeah, I've been dabbling a little bit, Jeff. I'm not betting on the World Cup. I'll be very honest about that. I'm not a soccer guy. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you who's going to win between, Iraq and Norway. I've not been watching a ton of the Iraqi soccer team, but I'm tuning in. I love these big world events, I'm not a huge Olympics guy in general, but I'll tune in because everybody's tuning in and I want to know the storylines that I want to know what's going on. So it's something that I approach with caution, certainly from a betting perspective, but when you have something this big, especially happening in the USA, happening in North America, I got to stay dialed in. We're going to switch the conversation over to golf. The U.S. Open starts up on Thursday. Our good friend Len Hochberg will be joining us on the Progressive Guest Line when we come back. All of his best bets, all of his DFS plays for the U.S. Open coming your way next. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. It's U.S. Open week on the PGA Tour, so that means we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. We bring in one of the best in the business, our good friend Len Hochberg, our golf betting and DFS expert over at rotowire.com, at Len Hochberg on Twitter, on X. You can check out his power rankings for the U.S. Open. You can find his very popular DraftKings DFS picks article, both up on rotowire.com. Use that code VSIN. You get 15% off any of our subscription packages. Len, as always, a lot to get to. Looking at the odds for the tournament, unsurprisingly, we have Scottie Scheffler installed as the favorite. He's +455 right now at the DK Sportsbook. Rory McIlroy, the only other golfer shorter than 10-1, he's +940. Gets a little bit more interesting beyond that. But we got to do it, Len. to Scotty or not to Scotty this week if you're putting together a DFS lineup?
You know, Nick, it's really interesting because we talk all the time every week, Scotty 3-1, Rory 7-1, Rory 7-1. Well, they've creeped up a bit, both of them. And I think it speaks to really maybe one of the most wide open majors we've seen in a lot of years. And when you consider that 13 of the last 17 U.S. Opens have been won by a guy who's never won a major, much less a U.S. Open. I think, and we, when we throw in the weather, I think a lot of different things can happen this week. I've built a couple of lineups on DraftKings, and even though I have Scottie Scheffler as number one in my power rankings, I don't think there's any way to go but that. I won't be putting him in any lineups. I think there's just too many variables this week. He's going for the career Grand Slam, so we could decide whether that's going to put more pressure or just make him focus even more.
When the last time we saw the U.S. Open in Shinnecock Hills was the star story of this. Maybe not a star. Might have been like an anti-hero, if you will. It was a really tough test. We saw Phil Mickelson stop a moving putt infamously on that one there. It was really dried out, and it became a brunt of controversy. How will it play this time around?
It could play fairly similarly. I think the USGA wants to avoid what happened last time, where there was almost like a player revolt led by Zach Johnson going on TV and saying the course was unplayable. And then there was the seventh green where they would be watering it in between groups. They've come out and said this week that they're going to slow the greens down a little bit. They're not going to be 13, 14 on the stimp meter. They're going to be 11 or 12. So I think that doesn't mean we won't see a plus score win the tournament. I think it's very close to that. The over-under on the winning score is 1.5 under par. But I think it will play very close to even par, but without the unplayableness that a lot of the players were unhappy with last time.
So again, Len, you have a great preview up right now over at rotowire.com. Encourage you to check that out, given some DraftKings plays. You always give a great breakdown of the tournament, the conditions, the type of players that tend to succeed at each specific course, the metrics you need to know. But the last sentence in your preamble before you get to the picks is what caught my eye, Len. A short hitter can win this week. A reckless player cannot. So who are the reckless players that you will be avoiding?
You know, that's funny you call it a preamble because it just does go on forever and ever and ever, does it? Yeah. I mean, guys who are reckless, a Tyrrell Hatton used to be kind of a reckless player, but I think he's mellowed with age. So he's not someone I'm avoiding. He's somebody I like. But when I guess of a reckless player, I think of Minwoo Lee. He's a real swashbuckler out there. He really goes for it. He's fun to watch and stuff, but it gets himself in trouble on occasion. And usually majors are not the place. Now, I will say at Shinnecock here, you know, it's a links-style course, and the fairways are not 22, 23 yards wide. They are up to 50 yards wide. So there is a lot more flexibility here. But still, you have to respect the golf course. If you miss, you're going to be in 5 inches of rough called chewing fescue, by the way. So, which is really a cool name for what we could see out there. It'll just chew up your ball. So, you have to be mindful of some of those guys who are just, you know, and the opposite of that is a Russell Henley. Very boring, mean that in the best way possible.
So is there a big, at the Masters, at PGA, we talked about there being a big four. Is there a big four now? Is there a big five? I see you've got Xander in your top five ahead of Jon Rahm this time around. Is there a drop off there between them? Where is the drop off for you?
That's always a tough call. Yes, Scotty, Rory, Cam Young, I think has to be in the big group. I would put Xander and probably Rahm. I would have sort of a big five this week. Look, I don't know what the LIV situation is going to be. Well, we kind of know what the LIV situation is going to be. What we don't know is how it's affecting the LIV players and whether they're scrambling to make plans to, get back on the PGA Tour, it has to have some sort of concern for them to for their futures and stuff, and whether their contracts will be upheld and what's going to happen. But Rahm seems to be playing through it pretty well. He was runner-up at the PGA. He had a couple of top tens last year in the majors. Xander is just there almost every major. It just really goes under the radar. In his last 17 majors, he's had 10 top tens. He's won a couple of them now. That's been a couple of years ago. But I would put the first five and then have a little separation.
Speaking of the U.S. Open, Splash Sports High Stakes U.S. Open Challenge is now live. It's $500 to enter for a shot at 100K guaranteed. Here's how it works. You pick six golfers, one from each of six tiers. Your top five scores count. Your worst golfer gets dropped. Lowest score wins. So it's all about finding value across the board, not just stacking the favorites. Multiple entries are allowed, so feel free to build a few different lineups, increase your shot at that $100,000 prize. Right now, new players on Splash Sports, if you use the promo code VSIN, you get a 50% discount match up to $100, a free quick picks entry up to $20, and a 100% quick picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. You can sign up now over at splashsports.com. Just make sure you use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Must be 21 or older to enter. Must be present in select states. See site for full rules and details. Len Hochberg, our PGA betting and DFS analyst from RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Len, we've talked about a couple of golfers you like this week. Xander Schauffele, Tyrrell Hatton. They're at 10-1 and 8-7, respectively, on DraftKings. I know you're maybe not paying up for Scotty this week. Maybe in some lineups you are. But if you're going to the top of the board, Cameron Young is a player you have your eye on.
Yeah, there's so much to like about Cameron Young. I think this is a good fit for him. I mean, when you're third in the world, pretty much any course is a good fit. But really what I look for is guys who, you know, show up in the big events and don't wilt, you know, sort of like Jalen Brunson. How to stick that in there, sorry. But Cam Young won the Players. He's third at the Masters, was fourth at the U.S. Open last year. He's really elevated his game this year to become, you know, number three in the world. I think he's clearly three behind Scheffler and McIlroy. But, you know, it looks like a major is coming. And he hits the ball very straight. He hits the ball very far and very straight. And that is, it sounds like, yeah, okay. But there aren't a lot of guys who hit it very far and straight. It tend to be one or the other. So he might be the best long, most accurate long driver of the golf ball. And he's been putting incredibly well and playing very smart. There is a hell of a lot to like about Cameron Young, and he definitely will be in some lineups for me.
All right. Well, let's find a couple of cheaper options here to try to build around this there. You like Justin Thomas quite a bit. You have him number six in your power rankings over at rotowire.com.
Yeah, my own personal viewpoint on Justin Thomas, narrow fairways, don't play him. Wider fairways, play him. And, you know, this is a U.S. Open with wide fairways. There's just so much to like about his game. You know, he was 10th at the Players and the PGA Championship, so that's pretty darn good. He wasn't at the Masters, but he seems to have a problem with the Masters a lot lately. Just an incredible, incredible short game. One thing, you know, we haven't talked about is the, you know, the green complexes. They're going to be very diabolical, very tricky, you know, sort of a very small area to land the ball. And then there are runoffs and stuff. And even the best guys in approach and greens in regulation are going to miss greens. And I think scrambling and wedge play around the greens is going to be important. And Justin Thomas is really good at that. And he's not the greatest putter, but the putting this week, I think the key stat on putting is not strokes gained putting and making birdies, but it's three putt avoidance. And the guys who are definitely sometimes the birdie makers aren't the best at that. And guys who are bad putters are very good at avoiding three putts. So I do think there's a lot to like about Thomas.
Len Hochberg, everybody, find all of his work for us over at rotowire.com. U.S. Open starts up Thursday morning from Shinnecock. Baseball plays for the Tuesday slate coming your way next. This is Prop Points.
Cashing Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points, the Tuesday edition here on the Sports Betting Network. Finishing things out with Jeff Erickson's full card for a packed baseball slate on this Tuesday night. Jeff, you were off yesterday, so we of course did not get any baseball plays for you. You cannot dodge Jesus Luzardo, however. Unfortunately, we have to start there. He's on the hill tonight for the Phillies. They are home for Tyler Phillips and the Marlins. Phillies -175 on the money line. Total's at 8. What are we doing with this game? How are you going to play this one?
Yeah, I'm going back to tapping the sign. Do not bet for or against Jesus Luzardo because I will get it wrong every single time. I have certain people remind me that I'm wrong every single time on Jesus Luzardo. That's okay. I understand. He's a blind spot for me there. So we're just not going to touch him. You know, I will focus a little bit instead on Tyler Phillips, who was converted back into being a starter, was a reliever for most of the season for the Marlins, has started the last three games for him. He's made 5 innings in 2 of those 3 starts. K props are between 3.5, 4.5. He's had mixed results as a starter. I'm going to keep this one kind of simple. I'm just going to go with a little Kyle Schwarber here. Over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI on this one there. You get a +131 price over at DraftKings. It's going to be, you know, right on the hot hand of the best hitter in his home ballpark. I think that should be a relatively safer waters for me.
Blue Jays, Red Sox in the AL East. Fun pitching matchup at Fenway tonight. Dylan Cease on the hill for Toronto. Blue Jays -120 favorites on the money line. Peyton Tolley on the other side, the lefty. Totals down at 7.5. Playing anything with Dylan Cease tonight, Jeff?
Yeah, first thing I do when I see Dylan Cease's schedule to start is to check his K prop. Originally, DraftKings and another book didn't even have Cease listed as the starter. That's changed since at some point during the show they started listing him there. So it was tough finding a K prop for him, but it was at 6.5 in a lot of places there, which I really like. Red Sox are playing a little better right now, coming off their first Fenway Park Series win since April 7th, though they did lose on Sunday. Jays are also, quick note, they're getting Vlad Guerrero back in the lineup. He's been dealing with a back issue there. Red Sox are a middle-of-the-road strikeout team, 21.3% over the last 30 days. I'm going to go with Dylan Cease over 6.5 strikeouts, -139 at Caesars. If you want to search around and get a plus price on that one there, it's at 7.5 over at DraftKings at +122. I'm going to go with the lower prop instead of the better price this time.
Got a pair of division leaders in the American League going at it at Yankee Stadium tonight. That is your AL Central leading Chicago White Sox taking on the Yankees. Yes. Davis Martin, Gerrit Cole on the hill. Yankees -143 favorites on the money line. Another total sitting 7.5. Opportunity here, perhaps, for the White Sox, Jeff, with the injuries stacking up for the Yankees.
Yeah, they are really stacking up. And to that point, according to manager Aaron Boone, he was on the John Boy podcast today. Jason Dominguez had a tooth extracted, and it might be a little setback. He might miss one game. It doesn't look like there's anything serious beyond that, but he might not be available today. The Yankees outfield's already missing Aaron Judge, obviously. Trent Grisham just went on the IL with a hamstring injury. Giancarlo Stanton just had a setback. He might not be back anytime soon. They're really kind of digging deep here on this here for this Yankees outfield. Still, Yankees have won 7 out of 10. And why? Because their pitching has been really good. Their run prevention has been really good. Not just their starters, but their relievers have really firmed up as well. Gerrit Cole's on the mound for the Yankees tonight, going up against Davis Martin. Two good pitchers. Cole was mediocre against the Guardians. Guardians are kind of pesky in that sort of way, but he was pretty good in his first 2 starts before facing the Guardians. Davis Martin it was brilliant last time out against the Braves, blanking him last time out. Let's go with the under here on this one. You get it at 8 over at DraftKings. -114 is the price.
The Mets and the Reds continuing their series tonight in Cincinnati. Did not go well for Tobias Myers last night. Gave up 7 earned. Ended up being a 12-0 win for Cincinnati. Mets are favored on the money line tonight. 9.5 is our total. Kodai Senga taking on Brady Singer.
Yes, and it's Kodai Senga instead of Christian Scott, who just got put on the IL with a hip issue. Senga was supposed to make another rehab start. So they are, in a way, rushing him back here. And, you know, he's a very volatile pitcher to begin with, already coming, you know, dealing with a lot of injury issues, and some performance and confidence issues as well. The Reds, they won 12-0. I think they used Tobias Funke instead of Tobias Myers in that start for the Mets. It wow. feels like a trap, though. Like, I want to take the Reds at plus money. Plus 104 is the best money line I saw in their favor. But don't forget, the Reds are starting Brady Singer in this game. Brady Singer has not been very good at all. Won 14 games last year. Miserable this year. 5.61 ERA, 1.64 whip. He's been a little better at home. But when better at home, he's 4.50 and 1.50 respectively on those ratios. It's hard to get excited about that as well. So instead of picking a side, I'm just going to go with the total here. I think both teams are going to score some runs in this one. I'm going to go the over 9.5, minus 118 over at FanDuel.
Anything for you, Jeff, in Padres-Cardinals? Padres looking to bounce back after falling victim to a dominant outing from Dustin May yesterday. Not quite a Mizorowski, but in the same stratosphere, at least.
And certainly like quite a turnaround from earlier in the season when he really struggled. It's been like three or four good starts in a row, better strikeout numbers from Dustin May. Padres, you know, this is a team that has a negative run differential. They for a long time, they had been getting by. They had been winning a lot of close games. Their offense is a thing of concern for me here. And you, it's the big four. The big four are all struggling to hit. Manny Machado has got a 177 average. You know, Fernando Tatis has the two homers. We talk about that every single day, it feels like there. If it is Andre Pallante on the mound for the Cardinals tonight, not excited about that one at all. But at the same time, the Padres just aren't hitting. They're not even hitting on the road. Their team total is at 3.5 in this game. I wanted to play that, but then I look at the price, at least at DraftKings, it's minus 135. I think it's just a stay away from me on this one here. It's just worth pointing out how bad the Padres offense has been despite them winning games. It's really their bullpen carrying them.
A very fun pitching matchup in Tigers Astros down in Houston, Jeff, where we have Framber Valdez going up against his old team, and we get the return of Hunter Brown coming off of the 60-day IL.
Indeed. So I'd be concerned about, you know, how deep into the game Hunter Brown goes. Strikeout prop, you know, he had a 40% K percentage before he went on the IL. It was only a couple of starts, so keep that in mind. But he's a big strikeout pitcher. We get him back. Minus 120, minus 118 prices are the over at 6.5. This is a guy that might only go five and dive this time. So I'm going to stay away from that one. Instead, I think I want to steer you to the Astros going over against Framber Valdez. I know it's, you know, and I'm going to go with the team total on this one again here because Valdez has been rough all season long. It's a revenge game. I think it's just as much of a revenge game for the Astros as it is Valdez in his first game back here. So I'm looking at the team total on the Astros. I'm going to take the total they're over, which is 4.5. You get it at minus 110. Going against a really disappointing pitcher this season. Remember, there was the whole incident about him drilling the catcher in the chest protector after he gave up a home run. Said he got crossed up, but he's only thrown four two-seamers all of his career. And three of them have plunked a hitter, and the other one plunked his own catcher.
Let's head over to Rays Dodgers in the late window, Jeff, where we get Drew Rasmussen versus Justin Wroblewski. I took the over 9. In this matchup last night, we had 6 runs in the first 2 innings. We had 1 run the rest of the game, ended up being a 4-3 win for the Dodgers. But what do you like in game 2 of this series?
Kyle Tucker starting to heat up. Maybe I'm trying to wish cast it because he hit 1 homer yesterday. He's up to 6 on the season. The RotoWire smart money tool has found a lot of action on Kyle Tucker homers. You get a pretty decent price on that, as a matter of fact. If you look at DraftKings, for instance, it's plus 587. Search around in your jurisdiction. See if you can find a better price elsewhere. And that's one of the things the RotoWire Smart Money tool will do. It goes to wherever you're geolocated there and can find you the best price in the best books or the exchanges, as the case may be, to find your best price on that one there. Drew Rasmussen is a great pitcher, but he has allowed 8 homers on the year. So he's not impervious to the long ball.
Time for our best bets of the night to round out the show. Jeff, you have given us a ton of baseball plays as usual. Which one's the best bet?
I'm going to go with the strikeout prop on Dylan Cease. Anytime you can get a reasonable price on Dylan Cease, 6.5 strikeouts is certainly reasonable. I'm going to go with that there. Minus 139 at Caesars. Again, if you want to play a positive price, you can get 7.5 over at DraftKings and get like plus 122.
I'm going over to a game we did not talk about, Brewers Guardians. We'll see if Cooper Pratt, by the way, is in the lineup called up today for the Milwaukee Brewers. But I'm looking at Bryce Turang, 2+ hits, plus runs, plus RBI. Been in a bit of a mini slump over the last month or so. Started to turn it around a bit. Struggled in that Philly series over the weekend. Didn't get in on the homer parade in Vegas, but I think this is a spot where he can start to break out of that against the Guardians. Even with Slade Cicconi starting to pitch a little bit better over his last few starts. That's going to bring us to the end of the Tuesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Money Moves, Stormy and JVT coming up next on VSiN.